everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 3, entitled The Cell. It was written by Angela Kang, who has worked on several episodes of The Walking Dead, and directed by Alrick Riley, who has worked on Once Upon a Time, NCIS, and an episode of Wayward Pines.
Wow, good resume.
Yep. And if you guys watched Wayward Pines earlier this year and last year, check out our Wayward Pines podcast. I believe that was our second podcast we ever did.
Yep.
All right, Gary, so we watched the episode twice.
I still feel the same way.
You still feel the same?
I still love the episode.
I'm going to say I liked it a little bit better the second time around. I didn't really like it that first time. Maybe it was just so hard seeing Daryl, like a beloved character, treated that way.
Right.
But I'm going to say I liked it a little better. And then we even kind of went a little step further. We went back to season 6, episode 6, I think.
Right.
Always Accountable. And that's the episode where Daryl met Dwight and everything like that.
Yeah, what's her name? Rebecca or something?
Oh, shit.
Rachel? Rebecca?
Christy?
Oh, wow. I was way off.
I wrote her name down in one of my notes here because I kept saying Dwight's wife. And then at one point in the episode, they actually said her name. Let me see here. Sherry.
Damn, we were both off.
Yeah. And Christy, I never started with a C.
I don't know where I got Rebecca from.
And then I think we were watching something else that had a Rebecca. Didn't we just watch something else?
Or maybe that was her sister's name.
No, the sister's name was Tina.
Somebody was named Rebecca.
We were just watching something with Rebecca. Yeah, oh, we've been watching Gilmore Girls. Were you watching Gilmore Girls with me? Embarrassing for him.
That is embarrassing.
I've been watching Gilmore Girls, and that was the guy's ex-girlfriend on Gilmore Girls.
All right, let's just move along.
Okay, let's move along. It's a pretty good show. It's on Netflix. So, all right. So, yeah, I liked it a little bit better the second time around. So we're going to go ahead and start the episode off with our likes. And I'll start off with the Saviors have a generator.
Right. Now, that's something we haven't seen in a long time. Or have we seen at all in The Walking Dead?
I don't think we've seen that at all. Because, like, actually, when the TV first came on, like, when the show came on, and it was showing, like, an old school TV, we were first a little confused. We're like, shit, do we have it on the wrong? Do we have it on the right station?
Right.
And then, like, within 10 seconds, we saw, like, oh, it is the right station.
Yeah, we realized that they were balling.
Yeah. I mean, they were taking shots. They were living a good life. I mean, in all sense, you know, in the apocalypse, they're living a good life. They're playing whatever that little game is that you play or whatever.
Table hockey.
Yeah, they were doing all that. They were having a good time. I mean, it's like they could have a good life without being the evil assholes that they are.
Right, they could. Not table hockey, foosball.
Foosball. Yeah. That's what it was. All right, the walker that had a pole going through its body was pretty badass.
Yeah, that was dope. I wonder how they did that.
I don't know, like seeing the walker, I guess it's CGI. Maybe they CGI'd the pole.
Fall down over the pole and keep trying to get up, then fall back down over
that
it.
That was cool. I mean, they've been doing a really good job with these walkers.
Yeah, the graphics have been awesome.
Yeah. I never used to pay attention to walkers because it's just like you just got used to seeing them there.
Right.
But yeah, there were some other scenes with the walkers where one, I think it was when Dwight was out on the road and one of the walkers are coming at him. And I just thought the walkers were pretty badass.
They were.
All right. So some of these things, it's going to be weird because it's like a show like, but a character dislike. And then even on our dislikes list, I have a... It's not a show dislike, but it's a character dislike. So
right.
The next up is a like. It's a show like, but it's not a character like. But when Negan's just so cool, it's like you can't help but like him in some ways.
Yeah.
So when he's offering Dwight to have a blast from the past, like the first time we watched it, I wasn't paying attention to what he meant. And then seeing the whole episode through, and then second time watching it, I'm like, shit, he's, like, offering his own wife to him.
Offering his wife back.
Yeah.
Well, for the night.
And then I liked it also because it was really, like, a mindfuck. It was like, yeah, right. If Dwight would have said, yeah, sure, Dwight would probably have been dead. Like, it was a test.
Or he wouldn't be in the position he's in. But I think it's, like, two things or two ways. Like, maybe it was a test or maybe he just let Dwight know that I took her from you, but I really don't give two fucks about her.
Right, which is almost like even more disrespectful. Right. And then he's like, well, pick whoever you want as long as she says yes.
And when he says pick whoever you want, are these also his wives?
Well, we don't read the comic books, but of course I've heard that Negan has like several wives. I don't know if they're going to do that in the show, but he said pick whoever you want as long as they say yes. However, a lot of people online, they were like, even myself, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool as long as they say yes. And a lot of people were saying like, oh, good, Negan's, you know, he doesn't believe in rape and stuff like that.
No, really, he was offering. I think it was more of a test, and Negan really don't give nothing, you know, care about him one bit. But I think it's more of a test because which one of Negan's women are going to say yes? Just like Dwight didn't say yes.
Okay, but what if it's not Negan's woman? I think the lines are still a little fuzzy there because say it's not Negan's woman, let's just put that aside, and it's just a girl that's there. Well, and Dwight comes up to her and says, hey, do you want to have sex with me? She might say yes out of fear of retaliation if she says no. So to me, the consent is not really still there.
Right. And then again, I mean, are they not allowed to have relationships?
They're probably allowed to have relationships.
You heard people say, or you saw people saying that Negan doesn't believe in rape.
Yeah.
Negan just offered a woman.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. He offered a woman like if she was a commodity. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. That's how good he is. He tricked people into thinking like he's a good guy by doing this. Like, you know, you're an asshole. You're a jerk. You're a womanizer. And everything else in the book. So.
Yeah, he just told Dwight he can have his way with anybody tonight.
Yeah, right.
Just pick one, as long as they say yes.
But why do you think Dwight said no? And like, I'm not ready or I haven't finished a job yet. Like, why did he say no?
Dwight knows how everything works around there. Could have known it was a test. He probably seen it happen before. Or he still could be in love with his wife. Or ex-wife.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say wife because I'm pretty sure he didn't file for divorce.
Yeah, yeah. Divorce like, papers. I don't even know how that works, like, in the zombie apocalypse as far as, well, I guess, I don't know.
I guess.
Maggie and Glenn were married. I guess in the zombie apocalypse, right. If you just say, hey, we're married, you're married. And if you say, hey, we're divorced, you're divorced. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, why not?
You don't have to wait 30 days or 60 days or get judgment approval. Or Rick can just say, I approve. That's it. All right, so them tricking Daryl into thinking that they forgot to lock the door, I thought it was, like, a good trick. Like, of course, I love Daryl. I don't want anything to happen to him. But when he thought the door was unlocked and really it was, like, kind of all a plan to see what he would do.
Right. To see if they broke him yet.
Right. Well, I thought it was, like, a plan to see if he would sneak out. Like, even parts of me wonder Sherry's alliance. Like, is she really, like, on Team Negan now? Like, she kept popping up everywhere, it felt like. It's like, what are you doing down there?
Right.
So, like, even though she was trying to give Daryl good advice, it was like, is she playing the game or was this real? I mean, she seemed real, but it was just weird how she was just always there.
And you have to remember, like Nicole said before, when we started that, we went back to the last episode, the episode where they met, and Daryl saved them.
Right. He, like, really saved him. Like, they were about to run into Negan's people right then and there. And then that's when Daryl stopped him and said, no, come this way. And then it looked like, I mean, Daryl invited them back, that he asked those three questions.
Right.
Which also made me look deeper into Dwight, because when he asked those questions, Dwight said he had never killed anybody. And just even looking at the character of Dwight, he looks so much younger in season 6. I mean, like, he's a hard character now. He looks so evil. And even in season 6, he didn't look like an evil guy. He looked desperate.
Right.
But I thought it was just like a kind of good way to see. I mean, once again, it was a show, like, not a character, like, but I kind of just liked how they were testing him, seeing if he would be willing to open that door. You know? Just like, was it Eastman? Did Eastman do that with Morgan?
Yeah.
So, it was something like that.
Well, it wasn't a test like that, but Eastman didn't really lock him in there. Like, if Morgan would have got out, I mean, Eastman didn't whoop his ass for it.
Right. That's true. So the next one I likes is Negan telling Daryl that he is everywhere. And it kind of brought it back once again to the season six. It's putting pieces together from season six when they killed all those people and Maggie and Carol were with those two women and they ended up killing them. I remember they were like, who's Negan? They kept hearing that name Negan. And the lady started laughing. She's like, we're all Negan. And
right.
At the time, we're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you know, and now we see what it means by when Negan's like, I'm everywhere. Like, he's Negan. It doesn't matter who you talk to. I'm everywhere. I have eyes everywhere, which I think we kind of said last week or the week before why no one would snitch on anyone, because Negan is everywhere. You don't know who's a true Negan.
Right.
Negan's three options to Daryl. I kind of liked it, just hearing what his choices were.
Yeah, that was a show-like for me, but a character dislike. Because all he was telling Daryl is, you're going to work for me regardless. Whether you're alive, whether you're dead, whether you're doing grunt work, or so-called living like a king. I don't think Dwight's living like a king.
Mm-mm. Although that room where they were in, I don't know if it was right here. No, it was earlier or later. The room they were in later on, was that supposed to be like Daryl's a permanent, like this is where you'll stay, you have a room, you have a TV and all that stuff?
I think so. I think if Daryl would have said his name was Negan, they would have gave him that room like, well, this is your new home.
Negan fake hitting Daryl. Remember when he was like, oh, fuck it, or something, and he was about to hit him?
Yeah.
That was a really good show, like.
Because he still sees the look in Daryl's eyes that he's seen in Rick's.
But see, I think he's seeing something different in Daryl than he's seen in Rick. Rick has that angry, fuck you, I want to kill you. Whereas Daryl kind of has that, fuck you, I need to get back to my people.
Where'd you get that from?
That's why, because look at the first thing Daryl did when he thought he got loose, he didn't go looking to kill Negan. He went looking to run. He wanted to run away. He was going to go back to his people.
I think that was his only option. It's not like he had the strength or weapons or anything to kill Negan.
Yeah, but I think if he had Rick there, Rick's first thing when he got loose would be to kill Negan. Like, I think that's what Rick would have did first.
Still at this point?
At this point. I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, if he had Rick instead of Daryl, I think Rick got loose, he would go looking for Negan.
No, I mean, at this point, after he broke Rick.
No, because Rick is broken right now. No. I don't know when Rick is going to go and try to kill Negan. He's going to wait. He's going to wait and see. He's smarter than that.
Okay.
Dwight's ex-wife telling Daryl, when you saw me last, you said, when I said I'm sorry, you said I'm going to be. And she's like, and I am. I am sorry.
Right. That was a love for me. I love that scene. Because that brings you back to the earlier episode. And it kind of put everything back together. And the reason, you asked this before, why do I think that it went back, even though Daryl was offered him a safe place?
Mm-hmm.
I think they already knew that there's no place safe. That if it's just a few of y'all people, because he asked how many people do you have? And he said, he's like
just two with
just
me.
Just two with me. If he know how many people Negan have, or he's speculating that Negan have like thousands or hundreds, whatever, he knows sooner or later Negan will be there. So I think he was like, you know what, why prolong this and run forever? Why not just go ahead and take this punishment now? And plus, he went back with the bow and the bike, which we seen Dwight didn't have, because when he went back with the bike, maybe somebody took it. Because remember, the bike was at the other building.
Yeah, I don't know why the bike was at the other building. Maybe we'll see later on why.
Well, we know why. We know that Dwight had to bring something back with him. Like, you know, I'm coming back. It sent me back here. I brought this. I brought the bow. I brought the bike. I brought this little army back. And, you know, Negan gave the bike to one of his lieutenants or his kings.
Right.
And that's how the bike got there.
Dwight's friend, his speech that he gave Dwight, I really liked it. I thought it was very meaningful when he was like, there's only one of him and there's all of us. Like, we're just existing now. We're not living. We're just existing. And then see him later on the fence staring at Dwight.
That's spooky.
It was kind of spooky because it was like, I'm still haunting you.
Well, he explained how Negan was able to come and take over. They were a peaceful town, and at that point, they were losing. He said when Negan came, they were just learning how to kill the monsters. So, you know, they were probably at their lowest levels.
I actually like that line. I have it written down. He's like, we thought we knew how to fight the monsters. And it was just so deep because when the show first started, I mean, we've always had villains, but even from season one. But when the show first started, the biggest threat was the walkers.
Right.
And even in Fear, we see them. They're learning how to kill the walkers. And those are the monsters that he thought we knew how to fight. Like, we thought we knew how to kill those monsters. That's, we thought that was going to be our biggest obstacle of killing them. And we learned that. But they're nothing compared to the real monsters, which are humans, which are people.
Yeah.
So I really liked his friend's speech. I really liked his friend, R.I.P. his friend. I forgot his name. I don't know if they gave us his name, but, you know, he had some good lines there.
And really, we seen how they killed the monsters. Remember, they burned their town down.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how Tina got killed, which kind of was weird. Once again, we were watching it when they ran into the little tent in season six, and she thought her friends were dead, and then she trips and falls, and that's when, like, I think that's last year is when they start having the walkers, like, hashtag or quote unquote sleeping. Or whatever, sleeping walkers and
tiptoeing.
It just got a little
sneaky,
weird last
sneaky
year.
Walkers last season.
All right, Dwight and Sherry's conversation. I love how you can tell they still love each other because they both still lie to one another. He asked her, he asked her, is Negan good to you? And she said, yeah. And then she said, are you happy? And he says, yeah, it's better than being dead.
That's BS.
We know it's not. We know it's BS because if Negan was being good to her, then why would she keep telling Daryl, like, it can get much worse and da da da? Like, I am sorry I came back. She's clearly not happy. I mean, she was happy that she wasn't pregnant, which is even, like, sicker on a sicker level. Negan's not being good to her. I mean, he might not be hurting her. You know, he's probably not Ramsay Bolton, but he damn sure ain't Ned Stark either, you know?
Oh, right.
So,
like, what is she talking about? Ramsay Bolton.
I mean, you know, he's not on that level, I'm sure, but he's not like that lovable husband either. He's more of the Stannis. Yeah, he's more of a Stannis. Just kind of ignores you and uses you when he needs you or something on that level. But and then Dwight saying, you know, yeah, he's happy. That's bullshit too. He's not happy. He just killed his friend.
Right. He's killing people now.
And remember, when he told Daryl in season six, again, in that episode, that once you kill people, there's no turning back. It kind of shows you that, does this mean that Dwight can't be saved? Like, we can never see Dwight be redeemed? Do you think he's a redeemable character?
I think he can be saved, but as far as being a redeemable character, I don't think so. It doesn't matter what he do at this point. I'm not going to like him. I understand him more now. If you think about it, he's the reason for all the BS they're going through now.
Yeah, no, he has a lot to do with it. He killed Denise.
Oh, he killed Denise, but I'm just going back to last season. If they would have never ran away, they probably would have never found Daryl and his crew in the first place.
Dwight could have gave them some insight. They would have never even probably went and killed them because Dwight would have been like, oh, no, there's like hundreds of them. You killing 30 people in their sleep, that's going to be nothing.
Right. So Dwight, he was the start of the Negan BS.
Right. I'm going to say, and this is probably an unpopular theory or opinion, but as much as I hate Dwight, I see a lot of people saying that, like, they want Dwight dead, and I've probably said it. I'll probably say it next week. But for some reason, when I think of him, I don't think as negatively as I did of, like, Nicholas or even Merle. Like, those people could not be redeemed. Aiden, he could not. I think his name is Aiden, Deanna's son. Like, those people couldn't be redeemed in my book. But I don't know. Like, Dwight, he's acting out of fear. I'm not trying to make excuses for him because he's still a punk, you know. He's still coward, but
you have options.
No, he does.
There's options. He's choosing to do what he's doing. At any point in time, he could choose not to.
Well, I think he should have never came back. At this point, he loves his wife probably too much, because he knows if he leaves, they're probably going to torture his wife.
Right.
And there's no way he can sneak his wife out of there, because Negan is everywhere. So I know they say, when they talk to each other and they have that conversation, it's better than being dead. They're lying to each other. They're lying to themselves, because they know they fucked up. Like, this was a bad decision. We should have never came back here.
It goes way beyond that. They should have never kneeled in the first place. I mean, what can this guy bring and offer you that is so good that you just kneel to him? Just period. I don't care what the situation is. Negan, you came back with a baseball bat, but there's nothing you can give me in a zombie apocalypse that would make me kneel to you.
I think they should have definitely nipped that in the butt the first time it was even brought up. Like, the first time those words came out of Negan's mouth, kneel to me, then something is wrong. This dude, something's wrong here, and somebody should have nipped that in the butt before it expanded on such a larger level.
I agree.
All right, next on the likes list. Hearing what happened to Dwight's face and his super hot wife, Sherry, how she became to be Negan's wife.
Negan's super hot wife.
Yeah. I loved how he kept saying super hot. Her super hot sister, his super hot wife. You know, as much as you hate Negan, you have to admit that he's a very good addition to the show. And he's bringing a little fun and a little excitement to it. But hearing him talk and everything like that, he's kind of reminding me of what they sort of, like, there's been groups like Negan before. The group that Daryl went with, the Claimed Men, remember? They, you know, because Negan's people says, oh, I earned what I took or whatever. And they were on that claim stuff. And then making his people pay him back for everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, oh, if you eat this, now you earn me, you know, you owe me 6 hours of work. And when Beth was at that hospital.
What did he say? It was like on credit or?
Yeah, on points.
On points.
And that's what it reminded me of when Beth was at that hospital. Remember, she was eating and they're like, oh, well, you owe us for that food you ate. Like, they had a little point system as well. And then last on our likes is Daryl saying he can never get with the group because he has his people. And that was when Dwight was explaining, like, you know, I have to do this because I have people I love or whatever. And Daryl was saying, that's why I can never get with you guys, because I have people I love.
Which was amazing. I mean, they're trying to break you. They could beat you at any moment, starve you, force you to do whatever. But it's good to have morals.
Well, I'm going to say, okay, well, two things. I wonder if Dwight went back and told Negan this, like, yo, he can't be broken. Or two, is it possible that everyone, no matter what, has their breaking point? So maybe Daryl doesn't think he can be broken. We never thought we would see Rick broken. I'm pretty sure Rick never thought he could be broken. But we saw Rick about to cut his own son's arm off. So I think there does come a time where someone can get broken. They probably just can't threaten Daryl himself. But if they find someone Daryl loves, baby Judith, I don't know, somehow they get their hands on her.
Or just anybody in the group.
Anybody in the group, you know. That may be something.
Maybe, maybe not. I think the last person Daryl really loved was his brother.
No, Daryl's loved plenty of people. This is saying he's loved Beth.
He's liked Beth.
He likes Carol.
He was fond of Carol.
He started developing a relationship close with Denise.
They were cool, yeah.
And I think something big is going to happen next week, because next week is a 90-minute episode. And maybe he'll take a little Judith.
Yeah, you're going too dark now.
I'm gonna have her call me daddy or whatever. Like, you know, I'm gonna raise her as my own or some weird shit. Because he is trying to get Sherry pregnant, so maybe he does want a kid and he'll just be like, okay, well, I'm taking the kid. I don't know. That'd be a little too weird.
Yeah, that's a little too dark. I mean, it's not weird. It sounds like a good episode. I think that's the weird part about it.
Like, as bad as it is, I hope it happens.
I hope that don't happen.
Right. All right, dislikes. I will probably say the biggest dislike, and it's not necessarily a show dislike because it's part of the storytelling of the show and the journey of this group and everything like that, but the torturing of Daryl was very, very hard to watch. It was a major character as far as Negan and his group. It was a very big dislike there.
Yeah, it was. It was hard to watch. I don't think it was a major dislike of the show.
Yeah, that's what I said. It wasn't a show dislike.
Or a major dislike of Negan's group. It was hard to watch, but I love seeing how they operate. It lets you know how most of the people got there or why they take a knee.
Right. Because it's like out of that fear. They don't want to live there again. Even though I'm just so surprised that someone doesn't go like, oh, I'm off to do a road trip or something and then just like never come back.
Well, the thing is, Negan will send somebody out for him because they're his property.
Yes. But okay. So season 6, episode 6, always a cannibal. Remember at one point when Daryl set the guy up so he got bit by a walker and they cut his arm off and they're like, let's just go. And one of them said he only wants those that are willing anyways. So it's not just completely, oh, well, you'll work for me. It does sound like, at least in that episode, last year the train of thought was he wants people that want to be there. So I was kind of shocking to see when his friend is walking away, they're going after him.
That's kind of like an oxymoron. That's crazy to say. You kidnap somebody, but you want them to be willing.
Unless they change how things are, because that was early season 6. Now here is season 7.
Well, it's a major contradiction. Because if you only want people that's willing, when they ran away, doesn't that mean they're not willing?
They're not willing. Yeah.
So if you're seeing men, which he's sending about 10 men to come get them. Yeah, you do want people that's unwilling. You're about that kidnap life.
Right. This was a show dislike here. The guy struggling with the one walker, Dwight's friend, like in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that was some BS right there.
It was like, if you're running away, why are you walking in the middle of the road, daylight?
Yeah, how did you get caught up tussling with a walker?
With one walker. You're in the middle of the road. You couldn't run that walker?
Yeah, zigzag him.
So I'm like, what you struggling with one walker for? And how'd you let that walker get so close to you,
dude? How did you let Dwight catch you?
Right.
Dwight fell, had to fight a walker, then broke his bike. When they showed Dwight again, he was all messed up.
And it's like, you know how they operate. Why are you just walking? I mean, well, maybe he ran and then got tired, but why are you walking in the middle of the road? Hide. Do something.
Yeah, it was just a little weird. It was too weird how they found him.
Yeah.
Well, how Dwight found him so quickly. Tussling with one walker.
Mm-hmm.
He was tussling hard, too.
That was a strong-ass walker. Strong-ass walker. And then the last dislike. And once again, it was more of a character dislike. I guess, you know, they had to say this, but, and you might disagree. But when Negan's asking Daryl, like, who are you? I just love that whole scene, though. When Negan was telling everyone, who are you? Negan, who are you? Negan.
It's like a musical. They go break out dancing. And then he got them,
like, saying in unison, who are y'all? Negan.
So, everybody had a little tight leather coats on.
I love that scene, though. But, okay, so when he asked Daryl, like, so who are you? And Daryl said, Daryl. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Why? Why did you have to say Daryl? Like, why couldn't you just say Negan? Just play the role. Like, just, why can't you just fake it until you can leave? You know? You can become a Dwight. Just go fake it up there. Act like you're part of the group. Act like everything's all good. Act like they broke you. And then just leave when you can leave.
See, we had two different dislikes in that scene.
Okay.
I actually loved the part where he said, Daryl. I'm like, you go, Daryl. I was kind of scared for him, but I appreciated him for doing that. But my dislike is how scared they had Daryl acting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How he was shaking. He just looked broken at that point. He looked where they wanted him to be at. And I'm like, why is Daryl this scared? Like, he was just over the top scared at that moment.
Right, right. He was literally shaking in his boots, but then he still said, Daryl.
Right.
Like, he wasn't fearing shit, but it was like, okay, but you're literally shaking out here, you know?
Yeah, he was shaking. Every time Negan moved quick, he would flinch. I didn't like that part of the scene, but when he finally remembered who he was, my name is my name. Then the scene got a little better.
Okay. I will say, like, I know we just went to Walker Stalker Con a week or two ago, whenever, and a lot of people still have that shirt, like, have the shirt, If Daryl Dies, Be Riot.
Yeah.
And I think I used to agree with that hashtag, but I don't believe it anymore. I don't agree with it anymore. Like, I don't want Daryl to die, but at this point in the story, I can see him dying. Because he just, I don't know, he's not the same Daryl he was, like, in season 3 or maybe even in season 4. Like, he's just not there anymore for me.
I agree with you on that. I was never with the If Daryl Die, We Riot. Anybody could get it. This is a zombie apocalypse. But I have to disagree with you on you saying Daryl's not the same person. I think Daryl is more badass now than ever. Daryl's character has never changed. He never changed as a person. He had a couple of moments of reflection. I guess when
Beth died.
Yeah, when Beth died. You know, he kind of sat still, but not as long as Rick did when Rick's wife died. When Rick's wife died, Rick was like in a coma for like over half the season.
Right.
And we never saw Daryl fall into that trance. He's always been Daryl. He's always been willing to do what he had to do. And he always wanted to get back to his people, no matter what happened.
All right. Well, that is it for our likes and dislikes. We will now go to listener letters. We would love to hear from you guys. dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/theverdictsin. And then there's also our website, theverdictsin.com. On Twitter, we have It's All Screen, which is April. She wrote, I really thought we'd make it through the whole episode without Daryl speaking. I kind of agree. I think he didn't speak. When was the first time he spoke? I think he was still in his cell. But he wasn't really saying much this whole episode.
That would have been a deep episode to see Daryl not speak the entire time. We wouldn't have known what he was thinking, his mindset, if he was broken, what his next move was going to be. If they would have had Daryl in the cell the whole time with just passing him food, him grabbed his ear from the music and played that out to the end without Daryl saying one word, we would have more to talk about today.
Yeah, that would have been pretty deep. All right, and then @PumpkinsMama0902, like baby, cute baby picture there, Megan, and she wrote, "Not being nice to my man, nobody puts my baby in a corner." #DarylDixon, #DarylTheBadass.
That puts her man in the corner.
That's messed up, though.
Well, you know, everybody has to get put in timeout once or twice in their life.
Nah, that was messed. That was so sad seeing Daryl like that. And then it was like slow. It's like, does Negan have some type of military training, like a military background? Because like, how does he know to play that music? Like, that is like a real torture thing.
It
is. You know,
it was torture to us, and we were just watching the episode.
I feel kind of bad because like we have two small children, and sometimes in the car they'll start arguing, bickering back and forth, and they won't stop. So I'll pull up YouTube and I'll put on This Is the Song That Never Ends. In the first 3 or 4 minutes, they'll laugh and like, oh, we like this song. And they'll sing along with me. But I keep it on until they're begging me to turn it off. And then I'm abuse. Like, yep, lesson learned. Do not argue while I'm driving, please.
To my babies.
So, like, I actually kind of thought, like, oh, is that torture now that I saw what they were doing to Daryl? Like, it's kind of wrong.
That's definitely what that is. I didn't know my poor babies were going through that.
Yeah, well, you're not in the car with them when they're bickering back and forth. It's annoying. All right, so we got @FashionAndFaith.
You evil person. Where's the Negan?
I'm Negan. I don't make them kneel. We have Chantel @FashionAndFaith. And you guys are so wrong for playing Easy Street at the end of the instant cast. I just got it out of my head. Sorry.
This is still in my head.
We won't play it on this episode. I just, since it was like the night of, and it, we were listening to it, and I was like, shit, that song,
it was fresh.
Let's go ahead and play that.
Fresh in our heads.
Right.
But that's like a crazy song to choose. Like, why? Why that song?
I think they were playing such like a happy song, and then listen to the lyrics, like Easy Street. He's definitely not on Easy Street, and it's such an upbeat song, and he's in hell. So I think that's why they played it, you know?
I was thinking after a while he would get used to it. Because when I'm tired, I'm tired. I don't care what's playing, what's in the background, what's going on around me.
Yeah.
I can go to sleep anywhere.
Well, see, when it first played it the first time, I was like, oh, why are they picking that choice of music like for the show? I didn't know Daryl was actually hearing the music. I thought it was like, you know, the soundtrack or whatever to the show.
Right.
And then when they played it again, I'm like, are they playing the song again? And then I was like, are they doing this to Daryl? Like, it took me a while to figure out that they were actually doing it to Daryl. Like, I kept thinking that the show was playing this song. Yeah. And I'm like, why? Why did they choose this song
to play? The first time I thought it was a show.
Yeah. So thank you, April, Chantel, and Megan for those comments there. And then we have an email from Tiffany. And she wrote, I feel like we have turned the page on The Walking Dead, and we are now studying how our crew survives these new monsters since they've mastered zombie killing.
Hmm.
The cell was a very interesting study in who is really in the cell, Daryl or Dwight. Unfortunately, I don't feel bad for Dwight at all. Why did he go back? In season 2, they burned down a forest. I think she means season 6. In season 6, they burned down a forest, stole diabetic medication, and with Daryl's help, had managed to evade Negan's people. Why would they go back?
Right.
That's what we were just saying. Like, why? I mean, yeah. Gary kind of gave a point as in, like, they didn't think they could survive with Daryl's group, because Daryl was kind of, he didn't really explain everything. Daryl's like, oh, I got some people. He was very vague with it. Oh, I was with, and they're like, how many people are you with? I was with the 2. Hopefully they're still there. Like, he was just sounding, like, nonchalant about the whole situation.
And they probably think, yeah, that's not enough.
Right.
And they ask, how do you know your people weren't captured?
Yeah, and Daryl being Daryl at that time, man, my people don't get captured. I mean, he didn't say that, but he's probably
thinking,
you don't
know my squad.
Yeah, you don't know my squad. We don't get captured, and if we do, then we'll just go get them back. Like, you know, they're never worried about stuff like that. Even though I don't know how before Negan's group they haven't been more concerned. I mean, I know they beat the Terminus people, but they were like seconds from getting killed by the Terminus people.
Yeah, they were about to be dinner.
You know, it seems like that would have put you in your place as far as, okay, shit, we got to get real. Well, maybe that's why Rick said, I don't take chances anymore because of the Terminus people. But it just seems like when they went and killed all those people in Negan's camp, they were a little too cocky and confident, because it was like, don't you guys remember you almost died? You know, it was just by the grace of Carol coming and saving you guys is the reason why you're still living and breathing.
Right.
For Dwight, I feel like he wants to break Daryl to prove that everyone will be broken in this world. Everyone will compromise their morals. But what Negan and Dwight haven't counted on is that they may have broken Rick, but killing Glenn and Abraham only lit a fire in the rest of the group, Daryl included.
I see what you're saying, Tiff, but I think the total opposite. I think Dwight knows he can't break Daryl. That's why he's borderline begging Daryl to go along with it. It seems more like he's trying to protect him than anything.
I actually see both your points, but I'm going to have to agree with Tiffany on this, because Dwight, it would probably be much easier for him to break Daryl and not feel as guilty about himself. Because then he wouldn't feel like, damn, I'm the one that broke, but look at this guy, he's staying strong. So if he can break Daryl, he'll probably feel better and be like, oh, you know, I'm not a coward or whatever. Everyone gets broken. And clearly, even when him and Negan were talking and Negan was saying some people are harder to break than others, and Dwight's like, yeah, or whatever, I think he does want to break Daryl for personal reasons, because if he does do it, then at least he doesn't feel like he's alone. I mean, even though he knows he's not alone, but he knows Daryl's tough, and if he can break Daryl, then hey, I shouldn't be ashamed that I got broken.
Well, that's a good point. It's a very good point. But I'm going to stick more to the he really knows he can't break Daryl. So he just, right now he's trying to protect, I've seen him as trying to protect Daryl for the longest. When he shot Daryl, when he told Negan, let me kill him right now.
Right.
It's like he don't want Daryl to torture. Remember, he wouldn't even let his old man die. He was like, no, you know, you got to go back.
Right.
Well, he finally killed him, you know, towards the end, but he knows the consequences to what Daryl is doing or Daryl has done. Instead of saying, let's take him and torture him, he's like, I'll do it right now. I will kill him.
Right.
Which now we know that's the easy way out. And now in this episode, we see him begging Daryl, like, you just don't know what he'll do. Just do it, man.
Right. Just like Sherry told him, like, it will always get worse.
Right. Because this is a good person. They know Daryl's a good person.
Sherry and Dwight.
Sherry and Dwight, yeah.
Yeah. Because they said, why you left? Why would you come back? We did everything to you. You know, we pointed a gun at you. Why'd you come back?
Right.
And I also like to point out that the toy or the wooden figure that Daryl took from Dwight was still doing that. He was, like, still carving out that little toy figure. Wasn't he doing that this episode?
Right, but it wasn't the same one. Daryl took it.
Yeah, no, but it was the same. That's still, like, a form of, I don't know, therapy for him or something.
Yeah, it could be. Or maybe that's what he did in his town. He was a...
Well, no, remember he started to say, my grandpa taught me, and then Daryl's like, I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
like, he cut him off. I don't care. Give it to me.
Right.
All right, Tiffany continues. I think it's crazy that Negan is using Guantanamo Bay tactics to break people. Wonder if Negan used to work for the government, and that's how he knows these tactics. Sleep deprivation, loud music, no light. And why is he so stuck on Dwight? It seems like once he came back and begged for forgiveness, he would just make him the toilet scrubber of the compound, you know? Why make him a lieutenant? And Dwight has power because he kept skipping the line and basically manhandling people, and no one really said anything.
Right.
Yeah, we just discussed about Negan, like, what was his background. You know, does he have military training and everything like that? Which, if he does, it would actually make things so much worse. Like, you're using your position of power, your past knowledge, and you're using it for evil.
I wonder why Dwight also. Like, out of anybody you could have used to be your lieutenant, why take this guy that you done took everything from?
It's like torture. It's like to show you you're nothing.
Everyday torture.
Yeah, like he's saying you're living as kings. No, you're not. You know, why would I have you this close? You have to see your wife. We know they have several compounds. Why not have Dwight at a different compound instead of having to be somewhere where he's still going to have to run into his wife all the time? And when Dwight chased after Gordon, I have to say Gordon was making some good points. Why not rise up? What does Negan have over all those people that they are scared of him and bow down? So thanks for telling his name, Gordon.
Oh, his name's Gordon. Okay. and you know what? That still went over my head. We just read it.
Right. But the part where they started playing Roy Orbison had me tearing up. Also because my dad used to listen to a little Roy Orbison every Sunday. And it's rough to see Daryl cry so hard he threw up. I haven't done that since I was like 12. And when Daryl was like, I understand why you bent the knee. I think he was saying members of his group died because he wouldn't bend the knee. So bending the knee while his friends are dead and being bullied would be wrong. I could totally be wrong too. But honestly, Daryl used to not showering, eating squirrels, and was basically a yes by his brother and dad. So I don't think this is as tough as Daryl and Negan and crew think. So I like that, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I agree. But we're not just going to skip over you having a cry like that, cry to throw since you were 12. Now you got to write it and tell us why.
Tell us that painful memory. No, I'm just
share with us.
That's not cool. All right. But when she
we're
says,
"Playing with you, Tiff."
Yeah, we're playing. When she says that Daryl was crying so hard that he threw up, like I guess I didn't even put two and two together. I thought he threw up because that's after I believe Dwight showed him the picture of Glenn.
Right.
But maybe it was two and two. Like he saw the picture of Glenn, start crying. Then threw up, but that was sad. Like
that was sad.
I thought if anything he would break then, but he probably cried and was like, okay, I got this good cry out. you guys are only motivating me. Everything you bring to me is motivating me. Like, if they bring Judith there next, it's just going to motivate him.
Why are you sound like Judith?
I don't know. Like, nothing sadder than, like, a baby getting kidnapped or something. So, that seems next on their storyline. It's 90 minutes. What else are they going to do?
I'm going to take it there.
All right. Ain't Fair and Shit goes to Daryl, of course. One, because when Negan tried to punk him with Lucille and Daryl didn't flinch, I was like, yeah, boy. Yeah, it's pretty badass. Yeah, I flinched at home, you know. And two, and Gordon, because I'm with him. Me and hubby would have been running Django style through the woods trying to get away. She's crazy. Yeah, you're funny, Tiffany. Shout out to the fans of 24. Woo woo. Hi, Jerry. Hi, Yolanda. Miss Gloria. And hi, Diana. Till next week, Tiffany from the Bean. Hope y'all voted yes today. Today's election day. So, yep, we did.
Yep.
Thank you for writing in, Tiffany. And now to our award and prediction. Gary, I ain't fair and shit. Who do you got?
I would have to agree with Tiffany and say Daryl. Daryl wasn't fair and shit at all. Negan swung the bat. He didn't flinch. When Negan said, what's your name? He said, Daryl. Yeah, that's pretty badass. And then he tried to escape after Lady warned him.
Right.
She said, just try to sneak back to your cell. And he was like, man, forget you. I'm out. Yeah, Daryl's badass.
And took an ass whooping.
He swung first.
Oh, yeah, he did.
You know, he took the first swing.
And you have to assume he took another ass whooping after he said Daryl, because when Dwight brought him back to his cell, his nose was now bleeding again. I don't know that many people that can take that many ass whippings. Like, you don't even have to hit me. You can put your fist towards me. And I'm like, Negan. Like, I would have been broken a long time ago. So, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with both you and Tiffany. I ain't fearing shit goes to Daryl. He definitely wasn't fearing. I can tell you that. Was it brave? I don't know. Was it stupid? Maybe. But, hey, he wasn't fearing shit. And I think this might be a first time I ain't friendship for Daryl. I'm trying to think back. Since we've been podcasting.
I don't think it's the first time. Well, I don't think it's my first time.
All right. Most likely to die next week.
Most likely to die. You know, I'm kind of scared, but I'm going to ask you first. And you better not say anything about a baby.
Judith. I'm just joking. Nah, I think, you know, if Walking Dead killed Judith, it's just, come on. It's like, y'all being sick to be sick now. You know, it would be too... I mean, they did it on Game of Thrones, but I'm going to have to say most likely to die. I'm going to say Tobin. Because they're going to Rick's crew. We're going to see Rick again. And just for some reason, I feel like they're going to see Tobin just kill him. Like, someone's going to kill him.
You say he's not needed anymore?
Yeah. Carol
got a new
boo. Yeah, Carol has a new boo. We have to get rid of Tobin somehow. So he's going to die before finding out that Carol has moved on already.
He's going to die from heartbreak.
Who do you got?
I would have to agree with you. I think they don't need Tobin anymore. Tobin was a filler. I mean, he was a filler for Carol. Now Carol's moved on. You know, they might use Toby to make an example out of. Negan may come and say, hey, I told you. Here, grab me Carol's ex-boyfriend.
right. I mean, there's people listening to this podcast now saying, who the hell's Tobin? So it's very possible that Tobin will die next week. R.I.P. Tobin, if it happens. All right, you guys, that is all we got. It's almost 10 o'clock here. I would love to see who won this election. So we will go ahead and end it here. And we'll be back next Sunday with our all new Instant Cast.
All right. Until then.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.